349, the nays 24. Two-thirds of those voting have responded in the affirmative. The rules are suspended. The bill is passed, and without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness from all across the globe. This is Animal Radio Network.
There you go, the big news this week. Woo-hoo! The Pets Act has passed. No pets will be left behind in case of disaster. More details in just a couple of minutes on your Memorial Weekend. Welcome to Animal Radio. Dr. Marty Becker joining us today, talking about dog fitness and your fitness and how maybe they sort of relate. Also, remember Fred the crime-fighting cat?
I love Fred.
We'll find out a little more about what Fred's up to with the district attorney from Brooklyn.
349, the nays 24. Two-thirds of those voting have responded in the affirmative. The rules are suspended. The bill is passed, and without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
Michael Markarian, Executive VP, yep. External Affairs at the Humane Society of the United States. The big news this week. Oh, it's great news. Pets has passed. What does that mean?
Well, we told Congress it's time for Leave No Pet Behind, and they responded decisively. And Tuesday night, the Congress voted 349 yes and 24 no to pass the Pets Act. And the Pets Act requires the local municipalities and responding agencies, if they want to get disaster funding from FEMA, they have to have plans for taking pets and service animals into account during a disaster. It's very exciting for us, and we're hoping the Senate will take action next.
Now, what is this going to mean to you or me listening?
Well, it means, you know, during Katrina last summer, our nation's responding agencies were just completely unprepared. They did not have a plan for how they were going to take care of pets and service animals during this tragic disaster in the Gulf states. And many members of Congress saw that that was a failure and an absence of a public policy that says when we're evacuating people, we have to also help with their pets and their service animals. Many people stayed behind because they would not leave their cat or their dog. They would not leave their best friend. And people put themselves in danger. People died because they would not leave their pets. And helping the animal relief effort will also help the human relief effort. And keeping people and pets together in a time of disaster is good for them and it's good for us.
Are there any other hurdles? Obviously, we need states to develop these plans so that they can get funding.
Yes, and the bill has passed the House overwhelmingly, and we need to pass the Senate. And we urge all your listeners to contact their two members of the U.S. Senate. They can do so by visiting our website at hsus.org/petsact. And we're also having nationwide party animals events on June 11th, where we're having more than 300 house parties around the country. And people who care about animals will be rallying around the country, urging the Senate to pass this important bill. So please join us and find a party near you at partyanimals.hsus.org. Join us on June 11th in calling for the Senate to pass the Pets Act.
Michael, we appreciate your time and your effort put into this.
Well, thanks for having me. Thanks for all your help.
1-866-405-8405. Hi, who's this?
This is Cindy.
Cindy, hi. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Where are you calling from?
Canyon Country, California.
Oh, listening on either Coast or K-Big, I imagine.
Correct.
What can we do for you?
I have a question regarding my teacup Yorkshire Terrier.
Okay, that's a small dog, I imagine.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
He's
how
good.
How do I get her from running away, like sprinting out into the street?
Ooh, close the front door. Is she an indoor dog or an outdoor dog?
She's an indoor dog. She's a lap dog, most of all.
Uh-huh. And how does she make her escape?
When I open the door,
ooh,
come in the house, or my brother opens the door, she dashes out.
Ah, well, do you know what she wants out there? Just to go out for a walk, when you take her to the bathroom, does she go outside?
Yeah, she does go outside.
Okay.
Does she try to escape then?
No, she does not.
What do you think is her motivation or her drive to sprint out the door?
You know, I don't know, and this is what I've been trying to figure out. Because I walk her every day, and we go to the park, and she's you know, she stays out in the backyard.
When you come back from the park, does she want to come back?
Yes, definitely.
Ooh.
And she'll come right in the house. I could take the leash off of her then, and then she'll just walk in the house.
When she sprints out the front door, how far does she go?
To the end of the driveway, almost to the street.
That's a tough one. You just, I guess the main thing is to find out what the drive is to getting her out the door, if she wants to go out and play a little more.
Has she been fixed? Is she spayed?
No, she hasn't been fixed yet.
Ooh,
but
okay.
We went for a walk, I'd say about 3 months ago, she got bit by a Rottweiler.
Oh.
So I stopped the walking for a while. Maybe that could be a tribute to it.
She's not spayed?
No, not yet.
Oh, you got to do that, Cindy.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to do that because you're going to have other behavior problems that are going to pop up later. And that could also be another thing. She wants to go out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
Yeah, she might tend to stick around more at home if she has been
I thought
spayed.
She was, but you need to do that, definitely. That's,
okay.
She will, if she's not doing it now, she'll want to take off later when she goes into heat.
During time, yes.
Or that time. So it's so very, very important, and you'll avoid all those problems. We're going to send, what's her name?
Her name's Reba.
We're going to send, as in Reba McIntyre?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to send Reba a bunch of stuff to keep her occupied inside the house, some toys, okay?
Okay.
And thanks for listening to Animal Radio. Hold on 1 second. 1-866-405-8405. Hi, Carol. How are you doing?
Fine, Al. How are you?
Very good. We have Brooklyn assistant DA Carol Moran joining us. She's no stranger to Animal Radio. Last time she was on, she's telling us about Fred, the undercover kitty. And actually, I believe that's what we're talking about this time, too. Fred, for those of you that don't know or weren't around, hadn't been listening to Animal Radio by then, was a cat that was used in a sting. There was a guy that was posing as a veterinarian, and he was used to lure this guy in, right?
Right. He, in fact, hadn't just posed as a veterinarian. He had performed surgery. So in addition to collecting money, he had been advertising, he'd been picking up pets, and the case came to the district attorney's office attention when it seemed as though he had performed surgery. He had done abdominal surgery on a Boston Terrier named Bert, not only cutting through the superficial layer of the skin, but cutting through the musculature. So it was a deep cut, and this is a man who has not been licensed as a veterinarian or as a veterinary technician, is not licensed to have the appropriate anesthesia or anything like that.
Now, at the time, Fred was unneutered, so you figured you'd bring him on over to this imposter and get him, hopefully you'd catch him before he actually went under the knife to get neutered. I imagine that's what happened, right?
It gives a whole new meaning to protect and serve.
Yes.
He really had to rely on his backup officers.
And he has a badge, too, a little badge.
He does. Because the fake vet did house calls, we couldn't go and raid his office. We needed to be able to have him come to us.
Uh-huh.
And Fred had been a foster kitten of mine with his brother George. With a nod to J.K. Rowling, you know, if you're familiar with Fred and George Weasley, that's a set of twins that caused the mischief. We had Fred and George Wheezy because neither one of them could breathe. They had such bad upper respiratory infections when we got them as fosters that we named them Fred and George Wheezy. And so as we were working with them, you know, hot showers and breathing in steam and, you know, percussion and cleaning out there, you know, everybody who has foster kittens or kittens who, you know, get ill or injured knows that, you know, it's sort of a long road to recovery.
Uh-huh.
And while I was doing that in my personal life, in my professional life, we learned about this vet, and we needed to be able to have an animal that needed surgery in order to get him to come to us and say that he was the veterinarian. But we obviously didn't want to withhold medical care from somebody who needed it.
Sure.
And there we go. Sure enough, part of the reason Fred hadn't been neutered at about 9 months was because we were afraid that going under anesthesia, you know, would be the end of him. So we were waiting a long time to make sure that his lungs were in good enough shape for him to be anesthetized.
So has he been?
He has been by a real vet from New York City Animal Care and Control, which is where we got him. He went back there and was properly neutered and is recovering quite nicely.
Good.
I guess for Fred, after this heroic act, he can't just sit around the house anymore or sit around the office anymore. He's got to continue with his altruistic nature. I understand that maybe he's being certified as a therapy cat?
That's what we're working toward. The district attorney's office has a program in elementary schools in Brooklyn that deals with, in fifth grade classes, deals with making correct choices. It's an anti-bias, anti-drug, anti-violence, anti-gang kind of curriculum. But because Fred was so comfortable coming in with, you know, the press in his face and people taking pictures, pictures and comfortable in my office for the day. I thought, you know, I know there are therapy cats and there are cats used in this, although I had not had one that I thought in the past really was temperamentally, you know, a good candidate, would like it.
Right.
And he likes getting out. He likes meeting people. He's very confident. You know, he's a very happy guy. He's very comfortable with other people. And so I thought we would try.
So he's digging on it.
So about a month ago, we went up to the ASPCA in northern Manhattan in New York City, and he took his aptitude and skills test. He passed. Unfortunately, his brother George didn't make it all the way through, but we're going to try again with George.
You know, brothers, sometimes, like in my family, I'm the idiot. My brother's the doctor. I'm the radio DJ.
Right, see that? But George actually has a lot of heart, though. George is the one who wins. He sits on your lap. He purrs. So I think he'll get there. He just needed a little. He hasn't been out as much as Red. Red's been exposed to. He's more worldly. You know, he's the man about town now.
Uh-huh. Does he miss fighting crime? That's the question.
Well, you know, he's just going to be fighting crime in a different arena.
Okay.
You have to appreciate that, Hal. He's not done.
Okay.
Now he's going into elementary schools. He's going to be talking about humane education. He's going to be assisting me in teaching empathy, in covering the law, and showing kids what the law in the state of New York is for fighting for against animal cruelty, those kinds of things. And so his law enforcement career is not yet over. He just turned a year old last week.
Where does he spend his nights?
Well, last night, Fred sometimes makes his rounds. Not only does he sleep on the bed, and unfortunately for my other cat, who was a semi-feral cat, so she's a little timid, he's played king of the bed. And for those of you with multiple animals, certainly either dogs or cats, everybody knows the king of the bed routine. There's somebody who gets on the bed and chases everybody else off. Usually at 3 a.m. when you're trying to sleep, and they're jumping off your behind.
That is correct. District Attorney Carol Moran. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, but Fred is... not only sleeps with us, he still has some of those attributes from having been a very sickly baby. So in the dark of night, he'll come and he kneads and he licks your neck and he nuzzles in and curls in. And it's really very sweet. And even though you want to say, I'm trying to sleep, leave me alone, you kind of put your arms around him and pull him into the covers.
You've got to.
Yeah, he's a love. But he makes the rounds. He goes to my son. He goes to my husband. He comes to me. He has nuzzles with everybody.
Yes. We got to get a picture of Fred
on the
website, do we?
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a picture
from
last
night. We'll make sure. Check out animalradio.com and you see a picture of Fred, the crime-fighting cat. Assistant District Attorney Carol Moran joining us. Thank you so much. Please keep us up to date with Fred's whereabouts. You know, he should have a website.
Well, he's on the district attorney, brooklynda.org. He's on the Brooklyn District Attorney's website. You can see pictures not only from the original press conference, but I believe there's some pictures from the law enforcement award that he got last week. So while he was with true heroes, police officers who'd been in the line of fire and firefighters who had, you know, done a lot of heroics, Fred was also there to... because, you know, in many ways, he was in jeopardy. He just didn't realize it quite as much.
We are so proud of him over here at Animal Radio. We love Fred.
Well, we'll let you know when we start going to class, and we'll see how it goes, because that should be a whole new adventure for us.
Keep us posted.
That to happen in the fall?
I think so. I've got to fill... He needs one final veterinary screening, and then we obviously need to be approved. We're going through the Delta Society, which is based out of... state of Washington, although there's many different kinds of programs, and they register people all over the country, but we're going to do that, and my guess is that there may be a summer school program we could go to, otherwise we'll definitely start in the fall.
Sounds good.
And hopefully we'll get George through, too.
Yeah, his brother, George.
Yeah,
George's
brother. Brother George,
we're pulling
his brother
for George.
George.
Yeah, we're pulling for him.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Okay, coming up from Good Morning America, Dr. Marty Becker will be joining us, talking a little bit about the fitness of your dog and your fitness.
Animal Radio is brought to you by the American Anti-Vivisection Society. Do you know that your common, everyday purchases can make a difference for the animals? Well, they can. Get your free compassionate shopping guide by calling the American Anti-Vivisection Society at 800-SAY-AAVS.
And Animal Radio is also brought to you by DinoVite. DinoVite. Does your dog still shed, itch, scratch, or stink? Well, instead of creams, lotions, shots, steroids, why don't you get DinoVite? DinoVite delivers the enzymes, nutrients, and probiotics that are cooked out of all commercial dog foods, so your beloved pooch can heal naturally. Visit their website at www.dinovite.com. That's spelled D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E.com.
Retrievers, Labradors, Goldens are the main breeds that come through our door, but we'll train anything with four legs and a tail. My husband and I own a kennel. We train hunting dogs and also have a boarding and grooming business. And our dogs, they're athletes, and we feed them very quality food. You can't get enzymes in a commercial dog food because they cook it at such a high heat that so much important nutrition is just cooked right out of it. But adding Dynavite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
Dynavite helps them obtain that better nutrition that is hard to find in commercial foods.
They don't shed as much, and they're all over very healthy dogs. We use it with every dog that comes in for training.
I have three dogs on Dynavite.
We tell everybody we know about Dynavite.
D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E. Dynavite will be a part of Maddie's diet for the rest of her life.
Go to the website at www.dynavite.com. Dynavite, D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E.
D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E.com.
Voice of the Animal is brought to you by xfleas.com, your internet solution for flea control and parkworm prevention. Don't waste your time on over-the-counter flea control products. xfleas.com carries all major brands. Visit www.xfleas.com. The cure is out there.
Welcome to Voice of the Animal. Bird flu, mad cow, swine flu, horse flu, dog flu. Have you noticed how these diseases are named after an animal? All of them, whether affecting humans or animals, are awful. Yet there is an alarming consequence to naming a disease after an animal, because it often results in unnecessary and unwarranted fear of the animal. The scientific name for mad cow disease is bovine spongiform encephalopathy, BSE. It is a horrible malady that affects the central nervous system of cows and can be passed on to people if that cow enters the human food chain. But how did the disease affect cows to begin with? BSE is caused by feeding ground-up dead cows to living cows. Cows are herbivores. They do not eat meat, and they certainly do not eat other cows. If I were a cow and were forced to eat one of my kind, I would be mad too. And partly because this disease is named after me, and it is not my fault. There was a time when naming a disease after an animal would have been taboo. In many cultures, nature was once believed to be imbued with the divine essence and presence. Animals were revered as totem members of a clan or community of people. To be associated with the power of a certain animal, including cows, birds, horses, and dogs, was a sign of power and respect. In ancient art and texts, animals were considered vehicles for the divine to travel from one realm to another, the animal often appearing as a physical manifestation of a sacred god or goddess. Yet over time, that thinking changed, and religious texts began to focus on the human being as the main moral interest of God. The transcendent nature of that thinking pulls the human being out of the realm of the here and now, the world we co-inhabit and share with everything that creeps, crawls, swims, flies, and walks on four legs. And although there are spiritual benefits to these belief systems, the moral consequence of a telescopic vision focused on a God way up in heaven rather than dwelling within all of life has caused devastating consequences to the natural world, resulting in an invisibility of the actual animals that inhabit the planet with us today. In research labs, in factory farms, in shelters, in the disposability and dispensability of disease-ridden creatures deemed responsible for the malady du jour, be it mad cow, bird flu, or SARS. Animals, the once divine carriers of grace and guidance, are now considered vehicles of disaster. The loss of human and animal life to disease is tragic. Compounding the tragedy through aligning a disease name to an animal only amplifies the negative and damaging effects of the disease. It's time to retrieve the dignity of the animal. Galaxies, freeways, and IRS forms are named with simple letters and numbers we all recognize. Why not do the same with disease and create a signature that heals rather than harms? Visit us on the World Wide Web at voiceoftheanimal.org. For Voice of the Animal, this is Rayanne Cumulos.
We join our team investigating a mysterious malady afflicting beloved pets.
Dr. Boulder, what is it?
Strange, Sally. These cats and dogs, they're scratching everywhere.
What could be causing this, Boulder?
Upon closer inspection, I found these...
Anencephalitis felis, the common flea?
Yes, millions of them.
No worry, these pets are saved. XFleas.com specializes in flea and heartworm prevention. That's www.xfleas.com. The cure is out there.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness
from all across the globe.
This is Animal Radio Network.
Just a couple of seconds. Marty Becker will be joining us. Dr. Marty Becker. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit out of shape.
A little?
Well, okay, I'm a lot of bit out of shape. And actually, if I start working out and I start working out with my dog, we can both get into shape. And actually, a lot of authors are capturing that concept right now and documenting it. He is the latest to do so. Is he on line four or line five?
He's on four.
Sure, I thought I just put someone on line four.
No,
that's are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
Okay,
trust
Dr.
me.
Marty Becker.
Hello, friend.
How are you doing?
I am busier than a squirt gun battle in a forest fire.
You sound a little bit tired, Doc.
Oh my gosh, I'll have to pick it up here, but oh man, I've been in Canada and Seattle, and I'm in Portland, I'm headed to New York, and then back to Vegas, and but I have a new book out. So Fitness Unleashed was written. It wasn't, you know, the Good Morning America veterinarians thinking, this is a good idea. You know, we'll make a bunch of money on this because nobody's talked about people and pets exercising together. It was spawned by Dr. Robert Kushner, my co-author. Uh-huh. He wrote the American Medical Association's Physician's Guide to Obesity. He is the wellness director at Northwestern University. He's the guru at diet.com, and he's very prestigious. He did this study called People and Pets Exercising Together, PPET, not expecting it to have the result it did. And the result that was surprising, it was that people not only lost weight and their pets lost weight, but they kept it off. They stuck with the program.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So if you look at why do people stick with this program, and there's three primary components that are going to make sense to a pet lover out there. Number one, you're taking responsibility for someone you love.
Mm-hmm.
The veterinarian says, listen, your pet's health is at serious risk. It's at increased risk for type 2 diabetes, heart problems, joint problems, increased risk of cancers, has behavioral issues related to this. If you don't do it, your pet's going to, you know, suffer serious health consequences or death. People are like, that's like saying your child isn't mm-hmm. doing this, so oh my gosh. You know, the doctor said we got to do this, so we're going to have to walk the dog. Second thing is, once people get used to walking a dog, they don't want to disappoint the dog.
Sure.
The dog gets so excited about it that they just can't stand to disappoint the dog. And number three, and these were both brought up, there's subsequent studies we talk about besides Dr. Kushner's study. Rebecca Johnson at University of Missouri Columbia did another great study on people and pets exercising together. But you know, social support is so important for weight loss. And
oh, yes.
People always start out with, oh my gosh, you know, Judy, we talk to our friends and we're going to walk this much every other day. And then all of a sudden, okay, there's the NBA finals on. Or somebody calls and says, I'll take you out to dinner after work. What do you say? Okay, there's a soccer game. You're not feeling well.
Guilty.
Do something. So then all of a sudden, you know, these dogs, on the other hand, they don't get a better offer. They don't call in sick. They don't look at their watch and go, you know, I'm not going to meet Hal today. You know,
yeah.
I don't feel like it. You know, I'm getting ready to watch TV, and there's no snooze button to slap down three times so you sleep in. I actually interviewed a former Marine Corps drill instructor that worked 30 years training recruits, and he said, I was easier on these recruits than this dog is to me. You know, he had a certain show he wanted to watch, and it ended at 4, and he said, sometimes I wanted a glass of iced tea, sometimes I wanted a break, but no, the dog would start barking, go get the leash in its mouth, root him with its nose, run towards the door, come back, and make his life miserable until he got off the floor and out the door to exercise.
So you're saying
one of those.
Our dog is our best workout partner that we could pick anywhere.
Yeah, and the good thing about this book too is it's not the good thing is a walking program is very simple to do if you want to do it. It doesn't take much preparation. It doesn't take much expense. But in the book, there's eating and activity quizzes, so it's very personalized for the person and the pet. And then it's a progressive program, so you start at one level for this dog, and then you work it up to this level. and it's based on proven studies, and there's lots of variables. You know, what if you have three dogs that have three different exercise requirements? What if you're more sedentary and all of a sudden you're gifted or adopted a hyperkinetic Jack Russell Terrier cross? And how can you properly exercise it? So we look at all those scenarios in the book, and it's one of those things where we're blessed with a lot of media attention, but the main reason we have the media attention is because no pun intended, it's a huge problem. 66% of Americans are overweight, and 50% of American pets are overweight, so you got one leash, one solution.
If you're sitting there in front of the TV looking down at your dog and he's way overweight, chances are you're a tub of lard, too.
Al, I'm going to tell you something that, you know, you've been in the media a lot of years, and every once in a while you still get something that you just scratch your head or laugh. I was getting ready to do Good Morning America to launch this book 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Actually, 2 weeks ago today. And there was, you know, on Good Morning America, I'm almost coming up on my ninth year, and it's never a problem to get pets as animals or prop dogs on there or talent because everybody wants to have their pet on TV.
Sure.
And so there's often people at ABC that pull rank, you know, the executive producer, Joel Siegel, the movie reviewer, they want their pets on TV.
Uh-huh.
Well, this time, you know, we want to have this segment on obese pets. Guess what? The well was dry. Absolutely nobody wanted to come on TV and say, I failed, my pet is overweight. And my producer is the book producer for Good Morning America, so she sent out cast it out into the different publishers, and this one guy came on, he had a 109-pound golden retriever that should weigh about 75 pounds.
Wow.
And we're about 3 minutes to going live, and he goes, hey, Dr. Becker, I don't really think my dog is overweight, do you? He's just got a lot of hair. And I said, sir, I've been studying this for 18 months, and your dog is not only overweight, it's obese. And I said, you know, big boned is to big people as fluffy is to big pets, you know. And we get down to about 30 seconds, and he asked me why I knew it was obese. So I went through and showed him the rib check and the overhead check and the profile check and some things that I look at as a veterinarian.
Uh-huh.
And we get 30 seconds to go on live, and he pointed his finger at me and gave me the meanest lawyer look. And he said, I tell you what, you can say the dog is overweight on TV, but don't say it's obese. And I'm like, oh, okay, I won't. But it's really hard. You know, there's no bikini season. Dogs don't have to put their pants on, you know, their favorite pair of capris and figure out they don't fit very well. And they don't walk past the mirror and do a double check with a hairy derriere and going, oh, my gosh, no more Scooby snacks, you know, till I lose this on the back end here.
And they don't have high school reunions.
They don't have high school reunions. So, you know, and you know, we love them. We love them the way they are. There was a study we quote in the book where 50% of people with overweight pets, when asked to rate their pet's body type, ranked it as ideal. So there's a lot of people that just think this, again, that's fluffy. It's just got a lot of hair is what I hear a lot. And
denial.
The good point is there's another study in there. And you know, I like to have studies. I like to have stuff that's not anecdotal where it's based on something. But there's a study that Prina did, we quoted in the book, a peer-reviewed study, that if pets are at their ideal body weight, they're going to live 15% longer, which is about 2 years. So
those of us that are
pets' moms and dads, if you knew the furry fountain of youth was just putting less food in their bowl and more miles on their feet, that's probably something you would do.
Definitely.
So we can get this book at the stores now, right?
Well, I'd like to tell you could, except it's about sold out everywhere. It's so popular, but I would go to, normally I always encourage listeners to go to their local bookstore.
How did the PR department here at Animal Radio miss that book?
One.
I don't know. As you know, doing media like we all do, there's no shortage of people pitching us with things, is there? But we have a lot of stuff coming. But I would go to Amazon. I would go to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com or call your local bookstore and ask them to order it for you.
Sounds very good. Very good. Dr. Marty Becker, thanks for joining us again.
You guys are good friends, and thanks for having me on.
Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
If you decide to go out and get a certain breed this week, remember, go to a breed rescue if you can. Because a breeder, well, they just breed animals and they charge you money for it. Why not rescue a life? There's 5 to 6 million animals being put to sleep every year. That's a lot of animals. Why don't you save one instead?
Yes.
And of course, if you get a cat, please, please don't declaw. There's other alternatives to the scratching, like what we use here.
Yeah, the cement furniture throughout the studio.
Now, if you don't have the option of cement furniture, we'll give you some ideas. You can give us a call anytime during the week at 1-866-405-8405. And remember, lots more at animalradio.com. We'll see you next week right here for more Animal Radio. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Animal Radio
Network.